Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It's a minute past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go if you'd like to click on the tab called Chat Room and jump in to the growing conversation as folks wander in here at the beginning of the program. If you were recently, disincentivized to participate in the chat room by the rude and obnoxious behavior of a particular individual, that individual is no longer present. And it's a nice, safe place to carry on the conversation again. Say it. But anyway, good evening to Jug of Punch, BT Blom, and Midweek Utility chat room moderator Steve from Georgistan. Thank you, Steve. Come on by. Pick yourself out a screen name, password. It's all free. It's all easy. And there's not going to be anybody there who... calls you, me, or anybody else a murderer. Okay? Good. Because we don't appreciate that kind of behavior in the Horn chat room. We just don't. This is HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is, in fact, where we live. And that is where you go if, in fact, you would like to help keep the program on the air. This is a listener-supported program. We don't have any ads. If you listen to the program for very long at all, you'll find that out. There are no ads. And we don't break in on people and say, hold that thought. Remember what you were talking about, because I'm probably going to forget, but we're going to take a 7-minute break now to try to exhort you to buy General Steel Buildings and Lumber Liquidator Floors and Bose Wave Radios and mattresses designed with foam, Swedish mattresses designed with foam developed by NASA, and vacuum cleaners that'll pick up bowling balls up off your mattress and keep them from rolling into you while you're laying there waiting for your herbal hair regrowth tonic capsule to kick in and make the hair sprout on your little bald pate like violets after a spring rain. Yes. Welcome to my shop. Let me trip your top. Let me clip your pop daintily. Yeah. Something like that from the Bunny of Seville. Right. No more singing. That's the end of the singing this evening. Uh-huh. Yeah. It is, of course, let me go ahead and finish with the fundraising business so there's no ads. There's no ads. And consequently, the only way we stay on the air is with your kind support. And we keep it going night after night. And this evening last night we pulled up a little bit of short, and this is that thin part of the month when there aren't really too terribly many subscribers, and we're very thankful for the ones we do have. So we're at $335 to go in fundraising for the evening. $335. Okay. 10 at $33.50, 33 and a half people at $10, 1 at $335. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. 2 at $167.50. They say that doing sums in your head will keep your brain young. I don't know if it works or not, but that's yeah, anyway. So headonradionetwork.com, contribute. If you'd like to become one of those monthly subscribers, and gosh, we'd love it if you did, you know, at $10 a month, it works out to about 15, 16 and a half cents, I kid the ciphering again, per program for a whole year. And, well, there's not a whole lot of anything. Up at the Rippy Mart, they've got this promotional card where for every $5 you spend, you get a penny off per gallon in a gasoline purchase. And so I pile them up all, I let the pennies pile up all month long, and about the end of the month, I usually get a $2 tank of gas. But it never fails. I'll go in there and I'll spend $4.85. So I'll be 15 cents away from getting the extra point on my fuel rewards card. Right? So what's the point in spending $4.85 and not getting the penny off per gallon? Because, you know, when you reach $2 and, well, here it's $2.29 a gallon right now, you're at free tank of gas land. You have to pay at least 10 cents a gallon, but it works out to about $2 a tank. So you go searching around the Rippy Mart for something that's 15 cents. Hint, there's nothing in the Rippy Mart anymore that's 15 cents. But that's how much this program is. I won't say costs, because you can listen to this. You can listen to this program as long as we can keep the lights on here, and never contribute a dime. And when people do contribute, they're contributing not just for themselves, but to make this program available to people who can't, who are unable. But that's, you know, we may be the only 15 cent thing left in America. I don't know. But if you would like to help us knock down that $335 fundraising goal, then please go to headonradionetwork.com. And do what you can. Click on contribute and put whatever in there in the little PayPal field box that you want to put. If you want to become a subscriber, click that little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation. Right. So, there's that. If you prefer to use the U.S. Postal Service, that's okay, too. The mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Mm-hmm. And let me know, and I'll tell Boss Man Wayne, and he can leave the spider-proof gloves in his truck, and just take his megavolt taser with him when he goes into the post office, or, well, the UPS store, in case he runs into a member of the Klan who also has a box in that same UPS store, because UPS is perfectly happy doing business with a domestic terror organization. Right. So that's all of that and out of the way. Let's see. Let's check in with a little email real quick. Let's check in. We haven't had a note from Todd in a while. Not Todd in South Carolina, Stan. This is other Todd, who had asked me recently if I went to see Joe Manchin in his alleged town hall appearance in Morgantown. Well, West Virginia is a funny little state. It is the only state in the Union that is shaped like an obscene gesture. You may recall, if you know people from Michigan, when they say, yeah, you're from Michigan, where are you from? And they'll hold up their hand. They'll hold up their right hand, and they'll point to some place on their hand. Because Michigan is roughly shaped like a hand in a mitten. Well, West Virginia, on that same right hand, is shaped like an obscene gesture that means go fornicate yourself. I mean, it just does. The eastern panhandle is the thumb. The northern panhandle is the middle finger. And down there around the heel of your palm and everything is the sacrifice zone. And so West Virginia can be kind of fun to get, interesting to get around. And so, no, I did not go to Morgantown, West Virginia, to see Joe Manchin say things that I'd already heard him say. Things like, well, I suppose the Canadian system's okay, but you can't go to the doctor every day in Canada. Oh, I'm living proof that you can't go to the doctor every day or sometime and any day. In the new United States of Merca, and particular in West by Gold Trump, Virginia, no. And he'll say, and that Canadian system, I mean, they got a higher quality of life and everything up there, and they got better mortalities and stuff. But boy, I tell you what, if you abuse the system, you lose it. Have I mentioned that Joe Manchin is a giant liar? Now, because we've got any number of folks who are part of the Horn Family Community Congregation who happen to live in Canada. And that means they are Canadians, as opposed to hockey players who are Canadiens from Montreal. Les Ab. And none of them have ever told me the horrifying tales of the diabetic who went to the podiatrist one time too many and was therefore forever barred from receiving health care in Canada ever again. Mainly because that doesn't happen. Right. But don't try to tell Joe Manchin that because, of course, he also recognizes that the Canadian system is just naked socialism. Mm-hmm. Them poor Canadians ain't got much freedom because they got their socialist medicine. At one of the town hall meetings, Manchin was asked why he hadn't introduced a single-payer bill. And he said, well, never mind why I haven't. Why hasn't the socialist Bernie Sanders? Huh? Well, Joe, not that thinking things is your long suit, but John Conyers keeps introducing Medicare for All in the House of Representatives, which is the answer to the question. And if it ever gets past the House, that's the only answer. It really is. It's the only healthcare answer in the United States. Anything else that has to do with the for-profit insurance industry is bullshit. And it's nothing but propping up profiteering on the agony, anguish, misery, illness, and death of the American people. Right? Yeah. We'll leave the for-profit system in place for the chumps who want it. Just like, I guess, you can probably still buy satellite insurance to cover your house in case a satellite falls on it. It was big when Sputnik first went into space and the enterprising little hustlers went out from door to door selling satellite insurance to Emory and Marvelline in case one of those commie Ruski satellites that couldn't be counted on was to suddenly fall from space right through into their 1960 ranch style house den. Mm-hmm. Todd says, I was more interested in the crowd at Morgantown. There was big pushback. Yes, there was. Because Joe Manchin is in big trouble. Here's the interesting thing. He's not in big trouble with Republicans. He's in big trouble with Democrats. In fact, I saw an article how West Virginians would be dumb to get rid of Joe Manchin. After all, he merely represents his electorate and the conservative nature of their politics. Flatlanders. But there's a, you know, there are a whole lot of us in progressive circles in West Virginia, to the extent that there are a whole lot of us progressives, we are what we are, who are sick and tired of Joe Manchin's triangulation solely for the well-being of Joe Manchin, to the point that some of us are committed to voting for his Republican challenger in November 2018. And I realize the theory has its flaws. But frankly, he's doing more harm to West Virginia as a Democrat, and arguably more harm than a Republican could or would. Speaking of Republicans, I can't help but note that my congressman, Evan Jenkins, who apparently is comprised entirely of hair pomade, Evan Jenkins is not one of those potential no votes on the House Tri-Care bill. Evan is eager to throw tired old coal miners out of their care. How interesting that is. No stream. And yet here I am, and it says sending. But that's where, and of course, the number of times that I have been in Senate offices talking about the health and well-being, or the lack of health and well-being, occasioned by mountaintop removal and the billowing clouds of toxic dust that rained down on West Virginia from mountaintop removal operations. I can't tell, like I've said before, I can't tell you the number of Democratic senators who said, well, what does Senator Manchin think? Well, no more Senator Manchin, and they won't ask me what Senator Jenkins thinks or Senator Capito thinks, because, you know, they're on the other side of the aisle, and they're understood to be the damned enemy. So that's where that is. Oh, for God's sakes, I'm going to have to stop and work on see if I can do anything about the stream here. Not that I can do anything about the stream, but I'm getting a bunch of emails saying, where'd the stream go? The stream's down. Yeah. Great. And me without any tequila. It appears the White Rose server has crashed. Well, I'm going to stop the program and message Ben Birch and see if we can get anything straightened. Oh, wait. VT Blom saying it's back. Let's see if that's the case. Is it back, VT Blom, please? Tell me. Let me answer a bunch of emails real quick. Okay. See, this is what makes the chat room so handy. If you're in the chat room, you'll know when it goes out, and you'll know when it comes back. Okay, so where was I? Ah, thank you. Thank you, David, letting me know we're back on Stitcher. Apparently it's not back on TuneIn. No, it is back on TuneIn. Windows Media Player cannot get the file. Still dead at White Rose. No TuneIn here either. Trying TuneIn. Hi. All right. And see, that's the miracle of internet latency. It comes back for some before it comes back for others. Yeah, I know. Let's see. Trying to find Todd's email again so we can get back on track. Joe has apparently decided that it is futile to for the Democrats to be, you know, a loyal opposition and oppose the nomination of Neil Gorsuch. Because, you know, we are all Trumpansies now, my friend. Oh, and by the way, before I go any further, 22 after the hour, let me just say, yes, I am well aware of what happened in London today. And no, I'm not discounting it. But oh, for pity's sakes. Okay, now Les is telling me it sounds hollow on TuneIn, but he can hear us. So that's a thing. That's a thing. That's a good thing. Yeah, I'm aware of what happened in London. But can I just say that how to put this? Our hissy over ISIS is not commensurate with ISIS's ability to do harm. And we're all just presuming this was some self-actualized, self-radicalized goob in London who drove a crummy little crossover vehicle into a fence somewhere near the parliament, killed a police officer, two other people, and got himself killed, and injured a number of other folks. I mean, they're not even up to Al-Qaeda standards. These fools can't even figure out how to make ammonium nitrate and fuel oil work, okay? They're a far cry from being anywhere near as dangerous as, say, American homegrown terrorist Timothy McVeigh, who blew up the Murrah Federal Building and was a right-wing extremist. They can't begin to touch the closeted dude in Orlando who shot up the Pulse nightclub and only claimed ISIS affiliation at the very end so his parents wouldn't be embarrassed by his gayness. But something happened. I mean, or this happened. And all of a sudden, I identified, and it's like not like it's anything new, but I was just struck. You know, we had the third day of the Gorsuch hearings going on. We had the absolutely stunning business about the chairman of the House Intel Committee running to the White House to tip off the White House on Intel info before he even shared it with his colleague across the aisle, the ranking member, the Democrat, in the House Intelligence Committee. We had some real news going on. And just as a general critique of TV news, once you've reported that there's been some sort of presumable terrorist attack, and once you've reported where it was, and once you've reported the preliminary numbers of those injured and or killed, what time it happened and the circumstances, you're pretty well done. I mean, what I just enumerated there doesn't even come up to a 3-minute reader. But they've got all this highfalutin technology. Let's go via satellite to London. Where, you know, and if this were Doonesbury World, Roland Headley would be standing by with his bush jacket and his pith helmet. And after that, it's just masturbation. Newsturbation. Yeah, little art of word knowing going on there. Yeah. So it's not attention deficit disorder because they focus their attention like a laser beam. It's more like an obsessive compulsive disorder. And somewhere along the way, I forget which network I was watching on my DirecTV Now, which is not, by the way. There's another one, courtesy of Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, a news terrorgasm. And they were happening on and they were happening on Fox, they were happening on CNN, they were happening on MSNBC. You know, since it's Wednesday, we can get all biblical, and I can say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there was something along the way. They interviewed, I never watch Fox, so I know it wasn't Fox. But one of the networks interviewed the former head of the gunned up portion of Scotland Yard's uniformed gun carrying police, whatever. And maybe it's called like Q-74 Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. You know how it is with the British and their initials. And, right. MI-9 7/8. By Jove. And he said, well, we certainly didn't give up. We didn't give up when the Nazis were bombing London in the Blitz, and we're not going to let this fellow terrorize us either. Me, I thought that was a little bit overdone. Because, frankly, ISIS can't even... Really? Comparing a guy... I don't know. It looked like maybe it was one of those Nissan Jukes. One of the goofiest looking automobiles I have lately seen. Or maybe it was a little BMW or something. Maybe ISIS is coming up in the world. Oh, that's so true, Carol. So true. Wait a minute. Nothing excites CNN like missing planes. Everybody has to have a niche. But I heard that business about, well, we certainly didn't cower in terror when the Nazis were blitzing London. And we're not going to let ISIS do it to us either. Thereby creating what I think is an entirely false and perhaps even ludicrous comparison between ISIS and the Third Reich. Yeah? Yeah. Because, well, for one, the Third Reich was a state actor in the form of, you know, Germany. Two, ISIS ain't a state actor. It's a bunch of pissed off fundamentalist, evangelical, religious maniacs. I think we can apply evangelical to them, don't you? And if you want to get right down to it, if you want something approaching a one-to-one comparison, how about the Irish Republican Army? Because the old Irish, I've just got this. I've got this sense that the old veterans of the Irish Republican Army are sitting there watching something like that, and they're going, bunch of amateurs. This wasn't even close. And then it just so happened, because there was other news going on in the world today, that I wandered over to a different corner of it. And lo and behold, over at The Guardian, with a dateline of Beirut and today's date, I found the following headline. Dozens of civilians killed in U.S.-led airstrike on ISIS stronghold in Syria. Subhead, at least 33 people killed in coalition strike on school used as refugee center near jihadi-held town in northern province of Raqqa, says Monitor. Martin Chuloff, reporting from Beirut, said, an airstrike by the U.S.-led coalition against Islamic State on a school west of the Syrian city of Raqqa has killed at least 33 people, many of whom had fled nearby fighting, sparking further concerns that new rules of engagements may be causing an increase in civilian casualties. Further concerns. The attack follows a separate U.S. strike on a mosque complex in the northwest of the country last Saturday, you know, 5 days ago, that killed at least 52 people. The incident triggered fears that a White House-ordered review of rules governing the use of drones had already given military planners more flexibility in ordering strikes. Activists in Syria said the attack on the school took place in the same area where U.S.-backed Kurdish forces had begun an operation on Wednesday to separate the town of Tabqa from ISIS's last urban stronghold in Syria. One witness said there were only two survivors from this, and they have still been buried. Most of these people, maybe all of them, had taken shelter in this building from the fighting and the planes. They were hiding for their lives. These, of course, whether it be 52 people in a mosque or 33 people in a school, these are people that we here in the United States refer to as collateral damage. Not human beings blown into tiny pieces of their constituent parts. Not, to get all Vonneguttian on you, little hunks of sitting up mud who suddenly didn't get to be sitting up mud anymore. Not mothers, not fathers, not children. Not babes in arms, not gray-headed, gray-bearded grandfathers and silver-headed grannies. Collateral damage. Yes. As U.S. troops and their proxies, oh good, we have proxies, a proxy war. Well, at least it's not all swampy and jungle-ish. Began an offensive west of Raqqa. Fears mounted that the new posture had led to fewer restrictions on what could be targeted in active war zones such as Syria and Iraq. One senior regional military source said, there has not been a decree to that effect yet. How about that? Here in the age of Trump, they're talking about decrees now instead of... No, we don't do decrees, goddammit. Well, I guess we do now. But there has been a definite change in mood. Often, that is all it takes. If approved, the changes being sought by Trump would mean the Pentagon could approve attacks without presidential consent and the threshold of near certainty that there would be no civilian deaths would be open to potentially looser interpretation. U.S. militaries acknowledged that warplanes flown under the coalition banner were active in the area on Tuesday and pledged to investigate whether civilians were among those killed. Are you dead? She ain't talking. She's dead, Jim. Oh! I had also admitted to carrying out the strike in Idlib, which it said targeted an Al-Qaeda planning meeting, but denied that the building hit had been a mosque. That's the one on Saturday. Images from the site and witness accounts confirmed that the targeted building had been part of a mosque compound. Well, you know, as long as it wasn't the mosque itself, as long as it was the mosque fellowship hall, I think we're in the clear here, boys. So, you know, not to be a complete jackass about this, but the death toll in London has been raised to 5, including one police officer, and the idiot who drove the car. plus three others. There were a number of French tourist students walking across Westminster Bridge at the time. They were part of, they were subjected to the attack. And one's heart breaks for this ongoing spiral of violence. But I think we do ourselves no favor if we do not at least point out or take notice of the fact that it's not just spiraling in London or Paris or Brussels. But that it's spiraling in Idlib and in a mud brick schoolhouse west of Raqqa. And if we're just going by body count alone, as far as killing innocent people, women, children, civilians, the ISIS has a long way to go to catch up with us. Because, you know, going all the way back to Dim Leader's little war of choice against the innocent people of Iraq, which he started on his own, well, and the other neocons initiative back in 2003, so long ago now. Well, there were a million excess deaths there. So ISIS is going to, and you know, I just don't think ISIS is going to be able to catch up to us lopping one head at a time, or and they'll go broke buying crappy little crossover vehicles that they can't even stuff with dynamite. I mean, this twit in London crashed into a fence, Edith. This is not to say, again, that it was not horrific. But by God, look at the coverage that killing white folks gets. Five of them, well, including one dumbass, four of them, compared to the coverage of, what was it, 91 innocent civilians out in the desert somewhere. And yes, just as a little reminder, as Carol Baker notes, the Amber Fuhrer said, "I'm going to bomb the shit out of them and kill their whole families." To which the rubes just cheered and cheered. And probably even laughed. Not understanding how it only makes them want to kill us. And so, I guarantee you, somewhere this evening, in the continental United States, or perhaps even Alaska or Hawaii, there's some water-boweled little wingnut running around afraid that his that he's going to be the next, or she is going to be the next victim of ISIS, and never, because introspection is not exactly their long suit, never for a moment pondering why this is all going on. Yeah. Okay, so that was a bit of a diversion. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that I knew that some jackass in a crappy little crossover vehicle had run his car into a fence today. Back to Todd's email. Manchin had a point in not fighting over Gorsuch. Think of a fantasy Supreme Court game or even numerical theory of card counting. They lost Scalia. Anything less is a win. Gorsuch is a win. Wait until Ginsburg or Kennedy are up. They are net losses when the GOP replaces them. Then they invoke the nuclear option, and then we are fucked. So I guess we should just lay down, roll over, and tell chinless Mitch McConnell that he can have anything he wants. Because, and at the same time, and from a similar camp, you get things, why can't the Democrats fight? You know, I'm one of those people. Sometimes you just get into a bare-knuckled brawl, because if you don't, they're just going to keep slapping you around and asking you if you like it. The fact of the matter is, Neil Gorsuch, for all of his vaunted civility and his highfalutin Oxford manners, he's just a tool. In particular, he's a tool of a shady billionaire in Colorado by the name of Anschutz. For whom Gorsuch has done a ton of work. Oh, and by the way, during the hearings, Neil went from being such a garrulous soul when fielding softballs from Lindsey Graham, talking about the pain of the precious fetuses yesterday, to when called upon to discuss the issue, going all Sergeant Schultz, I know nothing, when it was pointed out that there's a $10 million dark money campaign up and rolling to try to influence senators to vote for Neil, him, the guy sitting there at the table. Oh, shucks, don't know nothing about that, huh? I don't know nothing about no dark money. I'm just a humble millionaire who learned which fork to use with the shrimps while I was over there to the Oxford. Yeah. And as far as Todd worrying about Mitch going nuclear, he can do that anytime he wants. He can do it over Gorsuch. But let's say we keep our powder dry and be nice and cowardly like Joe Manchin. And so we get to keep the filibuster until a real nasty comes along. Never mind the fact that replacing Scalia with Gorsuch, Gorsuch prides himself on being a constitutional originalist, just like Scalia was, and understanding that constitutional originalism is a charlatan's argument in favor of a right-wing interpretation of anything they don't like, you know, like when I was just being a constitutional originalist when I said that trucker needed to freeze to death. Eh? So that, along with the Kennedy guy, they'll have their 5-4 majority. And don't look for Gorsuch to be running around out there voting in favor of a woman's right to control the workings of her insides. Ha! but Todd wants us to keep our powder dry, and I understand. Now, here's the fun part. I predicted yesterday when I noted that the single best cross-examiner on the entire Judiciary Committee turned out to be Al Franken, a non-lawyer. I predicted that the Purity Brigade would be out there, "Oh, Jesus, Al Franken, goddamn, not near pure enough!" And so Todd writes, "So the Honorable Senator from Minnesota, Al Franken, steals the highlights selfishly, but fuck us all like he did at Air America. To Al, your questions and a dollar will get you on the L in Chicago. Fight Gorsuch at your own peril. Dude, you playing whack-a-mole." You know, sometimes when you play whack-a-mole, you whack the goddamn mole. And the fact of the matter is, Al Franken devastated Gorsuch's credibility yesterday. And assuming that he does get on the court, and assuming that the Democrats do fold like a cheap suit, like apparently Todd wants them to, even though Gorsuch is having to sort of step over a body to get in the chair, namely that of Merrick Garland. Al Franken stole the highlights selfishly. Because, you know, that's what that was. That's what that was yesterday. That was just pure Al Franken selfishness, cross-examining Neil Gorsuch and proving to the world that the man has the ethics and morals of an Ebola virus. That was just Al being selfish. Now, do you understand what I mean when I talk about the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade? There's nothing that Democrats can do that pleases them. I mean, Jesus, who knew that Al Franken fucked us all at Air America? I didn't have a penny invested in Air America. And I'm sure here in a day or two's time, I'll get a lengthy explanation of how Al Franken fucked us all at Air America. But he didn't. He demanded a huge salary. They agreed to pay said huge salary. These are called contractual negotiations. I do know a little bit about the daily inside workings of Air America, and I know that they were doomed to fail from the start because they were leasing tower time. They were buying time at radio stations, and it caused them to hemorrhage money. I remember in the heyday of Air America when I said, "Hey, you know what? The horn will be here when Air America ain't." And they were hemorrhaging $80,000 a day or something because of bad business and management practices and a hell of a lot of predatory conduct on the part of people who, oddly enough, weren't Al Franken. But a member of the Purity Brigade has a long, long memory. And a lot of people did get hurt, as Steve from Georgistan points out in the chat room at Air America. Our good friend Mike Malloy got screwed, blued, and tattooed, and I think the sumbitches still owe him money. But they're never going to pay. But it was a disaster waiting to happen. But just remember, no matter how good Al Franken was yesterday and today, it doesn't matter. Unless it's in line with the Purity Brigade. Well, that's true. That's that is absolutely true, Brother Deacon Asa. Hold on here. Asa reminding me. To my credit, I called you out yesterday for being a shill for Al Franken and the DNC. And by the way, I'm sure the Sparkle Fart powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade is out dancing in the streets this afternoon. Or at least toe-tapping at the news that David Brock over at Media Matters for America and whatever the name of that outfit that he ran for Hillary, where they paid out the Brock bucks to Hillary trolls to do what, you know, to be trolls on the on Facebook and stuff, had a heart attack. And he had a heart attack at the office. He was taken because he has, I'm sure, some of the best health care insurance money can buy. He was taken to an appropriate medical facility where he was treated and stabilized and will begin healing from his heart attack. But, you know, that's something that happened. There's a whole lot more that happened. Wow, that's so weird. I don't know what happens where they, when they pick up the signal at TuneIn or Stitcher or whatever, from White Rose. But as Keith tells me, TuneIn's running on 8K. It does sound hollow. The best remark, however, comes from Kitty in Boston. You sound like an anonymous video. That's good. I can't. God only knows what happens with the internet magic. Darlene in Connecticut says, "Oddly, I'm getting you on my iPad." Don't you get me oddly every night? I think oddly is the only way I can be received, because I'm odd. I'm outstanding in my field. I don't know why, but I'm just outstanding in my field. And me and the Horn Family congregation have a strange and wonderful relationship. I'm strange and you're wonderful. But Darlene says, oddly, I'm sorry, I wasn't making fun of you saying oddly. I was making fun of me being odd, Darlene. Let's be clear about that. Oddly, I'm getting you on my iPad, but not on the iPhone. Both are through White Rose. Some days the magic works. And some day it doesn't. Now let me know if I stop sounding hollow. I'll try to make the program content rich, so at least that part won't be hollow. And maybe the 8K is the first one to come back when the White Rose server boots up or something. I don't know. Well, okay, we're back to 48K running smooth on TuneIn there in far Canada with Asa. It's probably got something to do with the socialist medical care system. I mean, right. Note coming in from Jen in Australia. She says, speaking of London, the British press is excoriating the Yam. Yam 45, this piece is so much fun to read. Here's a snip. Katie Waldman, portrait of a sad, angry president. I need something that'll give me a grin. Katie Waldman writes for BBC News, let the record show that President Trump in this moment is not having fun. The bulk of his torso caves in on itself like the imploding Affordable Care Act. As Merkel leans toward him for a handshake, a perfunctory gesture of politeness, Trump angles his body in the other direction and refuses to meet her eyes. His shoulders hunch, his arms hang limply, He shifts uneasily from side to side. They can't make me, he seems to sulk. Being president stinks. I want to play golf and yell at babies. Trump does not quite have it in him to leave the room. His tantrum is equal parts fury, self-loathing, and desire for love and approval. When a large enough star collapses, it becomes a black hole, thirsty for all the light and warmth it can swallow. This president is the teeniest, tiniest of black holes. He doesn't have the gravity to attract anyone or anything. He is enraged, exposed, alone. That's nice. And he is exposed. If we had a responsible Congress, there would already be impeachment stuff underway. By a long shot. Like I said, who knows from the magic, Carol Baker letting me know. You sound oddly fine in Hooterville on TuneIn. Well, you know, I'm broadcasting using a two tin cans and a string internet here in almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia, and I'm reaching Hooterville, dented tomato can and string. So maybe there's some sort of harmonic convergence in the two crummy internet systems. Yeah, I said a moment ago if we had a responsible Congress and. Jen in Australia immediately responded, instead we have Nunez. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yes, Labor Man wanting to know, Bob, you live now? Yes, I'm live. This program is live for the 22nd day of March, 2017. I don't think I did that part. I don't think I did the Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid part. We figured that out by now, though, right? Laborman says, I'm on a Linux PC and can't get into the chat, but I'm listening on White Rose. Thank you. John writes in, subject line, Sparkle Ponies. They believe that they will be held on high and will be seen as smart when the shaving cream hits the fan, you know, that they helped start. Yeah, I mean, it's almost not worth discussing. And I don't diminish the. I'm saying that to diminish the validity of your observation, John. But you know, some things like you know, you can purport to teach someone to ride a bicycle, but sooner or later they have to get on and pedal. And American politics is much the same. And sometimes you have to scrape up your knees. Falling off a couple of times before you figure out how to just keep the thing rolling. And that's kind of where the Sparkle Ponies are. Oh, more audio problems. Thank you for letting me know, Clarence. I was getting the 8K stream on TuneIn. Clicked TuneIn menu, upper right corner, drop-down box shows, choose stream. I clicked 48K, and you sound great. So those aren't problems. That's a non-problem, actually. Yay, thank you, Clarence. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. Subject line, road deaths in New South Wales so far in 2017 with regards to the 5 deaths in London. I checked the road toll for New South Wales up to and including Wednesday, 22nd March, 2017. 65 dead. But in the middle of a busy news day, the for-profit media will stop everything and go on for hours on end on a story that, like I said, constitutes probably a 3-minute reader. And God only knows what will happen now Maybe Trump will just decide to nuke Mosul or something. Mm-hmm. So here we are at the top of the hour, a little past the top of the hour. I have filibobstered 66 minutes away. And we'll take a break. One last little thing of note to sort of explain the upcoming bumper. Chuck Berry died over the weekend at the age of 90. There is no way to even begin to capture his import to American music, to rock and roll. But you can say no Chuck Berry, no Rolling Stones, no Chuck Berry, no Beatles. No Chuck Berry. No really cool scene toward the end of the first Back to the Future movie. And 90, and expecting to release an album of new material, even. Who knows, it may come out yet. It'll probably sell like wildfire. But then, news today, just because of a certain wordish closeness, something that doesn't have quite the artistic loss to it, but constitutes a loss just the same. 3 years short of the age of Chuck Berry, Chuck Barris passed away. And in many ways, you can say that he is the father, was the father of what became some of the worst impulses in broadcast media. Just like there's no Beatles, no Rolling Stones without Chuck Berry, there is an argument to be made that there's no Dancing with a Millionaire, no screw your neighbor on an island, none of the reality dreck with which we are assaulted daily and nightly, if it were not for the dating game and the newlywed game. And so, yes, goodbye to Chuck Berry. And for his one redeeming quality, goodbye to Chuck Barris, who delighted me with the Gong Show when I would come home from school. And I never knew it, but the $516.32 that they paid the winner of the Gong Show, that number was not just arbitrary. That was the minimum union scale that they could pay. And if you want a fun movie to watch, it goes back a few years, check out Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, which, from the autobiography that he wrote, Chuck Barris claimed to have been a CIA assassin. All right, so if you want to engage in conversation, you're mighty welcome so to do. The various and sundry numbers. The stress line is 304-663-4676. Works for some, not for others. I suspect it works for those for whom it needs to work. The other number, 304-574-8178. And from anywhere on planet Earth, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And we started the evening with $335 in fundraising to go. And now at 70 minutes into the program, I can announce that we have $335 in fundraising to go to get out of the hole. I sure hope that it's not $535 tomorrow night. But who knows? It might be. So let's take a break with a little something from Chuck Barris. Because you really don't want to hear Johnny B. Good one more time, do you? Let's go with a little something from Chuck Barris. I bet you didn't even know this. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, I didn't know it until I read it earlier today, but yeah, Palisades Park is Chuck Barris gold. 13 minutes past the hour, and it being prayer meeting Wednesday and everything, a note coming in from Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. Had some fundy lecturing me about how I'd better bow before his Lord now before I'm forced to my knees in the afterlife. My response? I'm not worried. Chuck Berry, dead. Jimmy Breslin, dead. The Pumpkin Fuhrer, still alive. Your fucking God is on one hell of a sabbatical. That or one hell of a sick, twisted, practical joker. Mm-hmm. By the way, since it is prayer meeting Wednesday, minus the shtick, how about a quickie update? And I don't just use the word quickie because I can. Remember, because we already had one update on him. You remember Ralph Shorty? Maybe it'll tickle your memory a little bit if I say Oklahoma State Senator Ralph Shorty, who was caught in a Super 8 with so much raw marijuana odor in the room, it smelled like there'd been a skunk slaughter, and a 16-year-old boy with lotion and condoms in his backpack, and a history and a browser or chat history or text message or what the hell ever history that said, I don't have any chores need doing right now, but How do you feel about sexual stuff? And the kid said, "Yeah, I'm into it. I need to raise money for spring break." Oh, speaking of spring break, bunch of white kids on spring break down in Cancun, Mexico, decided to channel their inner Trumpanzee, and in Cancun, and I'm sure drunker than Adam's off ox, began to chant, "Build the wall, build the wall, build the wall." Oh, I don't know. You know, at some point in time, maybe the Mexican government will pass a law against chanting "Build the Wall" in Mexico. I wonder. Kind of makes you wonder what the Cancun jail's like. Poor babies. But anyway, Ralph Shorty. Good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, ammo-sexual, family-values Republican has tendered his resignation from the Senate of the state of Oklahoma. It's a sad day for evangelicals everywhere, I guess. "My resignation is evidence of my respect for public service and the duties of our elected officials." He said duty. And just remember, he still gets his pension, even though he was into underage boy sex. "I recognize that the charges against me are a distraction to constituents' interests in the remaining legislative session, which should serve all Oklahomans, at least the ones that believe in Jesus." Okay, I added that last part, but he damn sure doesn't want to serve progressive Oklahomans, and they do exist. I mean, let's remember, BartCop was headquartered in Tulsa. Barry Friedman, who writes for the Alternative Weekly there in Tulsa, and is funny as hell, is damn fine reading too. Ralph Shorty is out on $100,000 bail. Mm-hmm. And he needs to, he says, spend time with his wife and four daughters, and no 16-year-old boys with lube and condoms in their backpack. If you want a handy way to remember Ralph Shorty, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, ammo-sexual that he is, family values, it was back in 2012 when, 2 years into his Oklahoma Senate career, he introduced a bill in the Oklahoma Senate that would prohibit the manufacture and sale of food or products that use aborted human fetuses. File that with the Sharia law bill, because there's no proof that Sharia law is coming to the United States, and there's no proof that anybody out there, "Hey, look, Dendy Moore fetus stew. Yum, yum." It's not out there. It's not on the, at least not here in West Virginia. I mean, maybe they have Dendy Moore fetus stew in those sickening liberal places like California and Washington and Oregon and Massachusetts and New York and so forth. But they weren't going to be no Dendy Moore fetus stew in Oklahoma, by Jeebus. But I wanted to make sure that we got a little update on Ralph Shorty. Just nicknamed Chode to his buddies. Yeah. So, let's run over to the Skypline and check in and see where Tracy is on the 6 7/8 or the 9 15/16 or hey Tracy.
I'm on the 405 in out of control California, and I want to let you know that even in super liberal California, we do not have Dinty Moore fetus stew.
Well, I was hoping you could get me a case. I hear it's the little bits of fetus are tender and flaky.
It's well, honey, I'm sorry. Maybe I'll call my sister up in Oregon, and I have a cousin in Washington, so I'll call them up later on today.
But listen, let's be clear. I don't want it unless it's free range, GMO free Dinty Moore fetus stew. And it better, by God, be gluten-free, too, okay?
Cage-free, gluten-free fetus stew.
No GMO. Free
no
range.
GMO. Okay, no.
Of course, I don't know, that sort of brings into focus the idea of a free-range fetus, so... I mean, there's just not a hell of a lot of room in there to range about now, is there?
No, there's not. So you might have to settle for, because it can't be womb feet free. So, well, once the fetus is out, so it is womb feet free.
Jesus,
we're going to hell. We're going to hell.
Well, you know, as long as Jerry Falwell's still up in heaven, that's fine by me.
Oh God. So we have drunk co-eds down in Cancun, Mexico, chanting
"Build the wall."
Build the wall. Yeah, I think we should build. They should build the wall and keep them there and throw them in the Mexican jail and see how they like it then. How do you scream "Build the wall" and you're in Mexico?
Well, okay, no. Let's go another step beyond that. You are free, young, probably white, and wealthy enough to be in Cancun on spring break.
In the first place.
And all that comes to mind is chanting, build the wall. Now, maybe I'm just not plugged in, but... I'm all of those things. Only thing I'm going to chant is bring me another margarita.
Dude, seriously, I'm talking about bring me another mojito. See, I'm already, you know, like, even though my, you know, this is a shallow part because, you know, I'm going to plug my cruise. I mean, we're talking 8 months away, and I'm already thinking about how much alcohol I'm going to consume. Okay? It's like, I'm not thinking... why would I be talking about building a wall when I'm on vacation?
Well, I learned that the most surefire way to ward off seasickness was to have a couple of beers.
Yep.
Because then your brain sloshes around at the same rate the boat is sloshing around on the sea, and everything's okay. Before I had the beer, right. I mean, Agnes can testify, I was a green little son of a gun. And I knew if I'd gotten that little Dramamine dot behind my ear, that meant I just would have been asleep for 7 days.
That's exactly. Where did you go on your cruise?
Oh, that was back when we went on the Libboat cruise. We left Fort Lauderdale. It was Progressive Voices cruise. Malloy was there, and Mike and Kathy, and
oh, nice.
And Agnes and I and Ferg and. Margie and Sarah went, and Sarah and I got Star Trek level Captain Pike level radiation burns because white people. And we left Fort Lauderdale, and we sailed for a day, and
you
we
mean
part
the Bellamy Challenge.
Yes, melanin challenge. That would be me. I'm a mutant. I'm a mutant. Humans are supposed to have melanin. I don't.
Oh God! Oh
And we stopped at Grand Turk for a while, and Ferg and I went out and wandered around, and I got radiation poisoning, and then we went from there to Charlotte Amalie, and from there to Puerto Rico, and from Puerto Rico back to what they called Half Moon Cay, but was really a little bit of nothing in the Bahamas called Little San Salvador. And by the time we got back to Florida, it was freezing fucking cold.
Oh, that's sad. And I don't really drink, but we got one free upgrade when I booked our crew. And it was either the dining package, because they have specialty restaurants, free Wi-Fi for 250 minutes, $50 off the excursion in each port, and something else, or the unlimited drink package, the ultimate drink package. Which do you think I chose?
Leave the gun, take the drinks.
Yeah, exactly. Leave the gun, take the drinks.
Yeah.
So I mean, because. Since I got the cruise because I gambled. Oh, by the way, we had to go back. Like I said, when we went last weekend to pick up our cruise. I'm going to win $1,100 last weekend. Yes, you did.
Whoa, now.
I told you, you got to remind me. I owe you $25 for the last time I called. But you have to remind me of these.
Well, we don't bill anyway, you by the call, Tracy.
Damn it, I know that, but when I make a challenge or a pledge or whatever the hell, you have to remind me, because if you don't remind me, because usually I'm driving when I do these things, I don't remember. And then when I call, the next time I call, I'm like, holy cow, I was supposed to do that.
But you did, and to my defense, lately, and...
Did you forget to?
No, I didn't forget. It's just that lately when the program's over, I get the uploads done and I go to bed.
Right.
Because I've been in better shape in my life.
Are you feeling any better?
Well, no. It's just a question of degrees of pain. There's curl up in a ball and cry and scream, and then there's sit around and wince a lot. I'm Sir Wince a Lot.
So wince a lot, like Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah.
Sir Wince-a-Lot.
I like big steaks, and I cannot lie.
Don't rap. Don't do it.
Because white.
I don't
people.
Even
yes.
try to rap, and I'm laughing.
No. I mean, no.
Vanilla
ice. I'm not. And by God, that. And that baseline is totally different from Under Pressure. Totally different.
Yeah, so different. It's deep, 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 deep. But we do it by dun, 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 dun. Yeah. So different. So different. Right. It's so different.
Yeah, so you don't ever have to worry about me rapping, Tracy.
No. So the crew, since I gamble and that's how I cut the cruise, because of that, we get our drinks for free in the casino. And I'm like, but I don't want to spend time in the casino. I don't plan on spending much time in the casino. So that's why Jan is like, just get the drink package, because that means we can drink at the poolside. We can drink when we go to dinner. We can drink whenever we want to drink. And I don't, like I said, I'm not much of a drinker, but when I decide to drink, I want to drink. And besides the fact, I plan on bringing as much rum as I can. I mean, we're going to 5 different islands, and that's not even including Puerto Rico. I'm going to see how much rum I can bring back legally. Because,
1 liter?
Per island, or just period?
Period.
Damn it.
But I have to say, I love the fact that you think that there should be a per island rule.
shouldn't it be a per-island ring?
Absolutely.
Shouldn't that be
a... Now, you can get a liter per island as long as you drink the liter before you get to the next island.
There you go. I mean, why should there, shouldn't there, I mean, why should I have to choose between which island I will be bringing the liquor back from? I think that's not, that's cruel and unusual punishment.
Well, but Jan can bring back a liter too.
That's true. But when we went back to, 2 years ago, we did. We bought back more than we were supposed to because we really didn't know. And the ship, and customers was like, well, we don't really check. But see, we're under a new regime. I'm not even going to say administration.
No, no, no. We say, out of respect for News Ninja Gene, we say regime.
Regime. This is a regime. When you're stopping people because their last name is Ali or Hussein or whatever, you know, I mean, my last name is Porter, and I live out get stopped, but I am black. And I'm thinking about, I told Dad I was going to wear a head wrap just because. And she looked at me like, please don't. Just please don't. And I'm like, why not? She's like, I don't want to be on the news because if you do that, we will be on the news. And she's like, you're not Muslim. I said, and so? You want to cause an international incident. I said, it won't be an international incident. Will I have to come back through customs coming back from Puerto Rico?
From Puerto Rico? No.
Damn.
But if you go to any other foreign ports of call, I mean, we stopped in Puerto Rico too, but still, customs.
But you still have to go through customs. I think we leave.
Yeah, all you know. I went down there with a bag of cheap cigars that I didn't mind losing, and
Right. Ditched
the cheap cigars, saved the bands, bought Cubans. Put different bands on them, put them back in my bag, and came back with when that was something really exciting to do.
Wait, question. Now, will I be able to bring Cuban cigars back now?
No.
Damn. But you just gave me an idea.
But you also have to be very, very careful. Because right. Cuban, fake Cuban cigars are everywhere all over the Caribbean.
Right. Along with pirates. I'm just kidding.
No. Now, speaking of which, have you watched Black Sails yet?
No. Jan and I, because we just finished, we have to pick something to binge watch together. So we haven't decided because, and I think from what she told me about Black Sails, I think she liked it because she can be kind of persnickety about TV, about movies and stuff like that. So, and she liked it. It's Pirates of the Caribbean on steroids, isn't it? Is there
you know, with some nudity.
Is there some lesbianness
and some gayness.
Ooh, okay, then she'll watch it. Because I kind of got her into Spartacus, but she lost. But then we stopped watching it. We watched the first season of it, and she liked it because it was Spartacus. So I think I could get her to watch Black Sails.
I'm Spartacus, and so is my wife. Yes.
Yeah.
I mention it because if it's a binge watch thing, I think there may be two episodes left in this season, and then it's over. And then you've got four seasons worth of binging.
Oh, cool. Because, see, remember, I still haven't watched any of this season of The Outsiders.
Well, there's a new episode of that was on last night, so that means that's what Agnes and I will watch tonight. And it's not a different program, but they sure did go off in a different direction I wasn't expecting.
Yeah,
and that's not to say it's not a good direction, but it's a different direction.
But it's off into the weeds.
Not weeds. Really? Not weeds, but, well, I don't want to ruin it.
Okay. So let's talk about the hearings today.
Oh, do let's.
Let's do, because I didn't get to watch them because I was doing homework. And Jan was gone, so I didn't get to really hear them. Because I wanted to listen to them, but I really wanted to get homework done. And I knew that if I had to turn them on, I wouldn't have been able to pay attention to my homework. So tell me, give me the good stuff, because you were telling me that, I mean, I heard that Al Franken, was Al Franken yesterday or was he today as well?
Well, he was yesterday and today.
And I heard he kicked ass.
Yesterday he put it out of the park. I mean, really all the way out, you know, all the way out of the stadium.
Nice.
Today there were, and there was a couple of ancillary things. I found the post over at Think Progress. At the same time that Gorsuch was sitting for his confirmation hearing, the Supreme Court of the United States
overturned one of his decisions.
8-0.
Unanimous. It was like,
And just like the frozen trucker case, where Gorsuch, because he's such a compassionate conservative, said that the black dude driving the truck needed to freeze to death for the company if he wanted to keep his job. In the case that he got slam dunked on in the Supreme Court, he wrote that a kid with autism in Colorado was entitled to as little education as possible. I'm not kidding.
Just like,
it's the difference between de minimis and merely de minimis. Well, de minimis means, a nearly legally cognizable nothing.
Okay.
Whereas in the opinion that Gorsuch wrote, he said that the educational benefits provided to the child with autism must be merely more than de minimis.
Okay.
And so Ian Millhiser at Think Progress points out, de minimis is a Latin phrase meaning so minor as to merit disregard. So Gorsuch essentially concluded that school districts comply with their obligation to disabled students so long as they provide those students with a little more than nothing. So the goddess of irony is watching the Gorsuch nomination. And if you're wondering what you can expect from Gorsuch on the bench, if you're a disabled person, well, there you go.
No.
A little more than nothing.
Nothing.
And such a little more than nothing as to be barely cognizable at law.
What did Billy Preston?
Oh, you mean nothing from nothing leaves nothing? Tracy?
Rat bastard. Now, my question with that, now...
Hey, Tracy, you're going to have to try back because our connection is poop. You're falling apart.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not even... No, you're... Wait, try back in a little bit when you get into better signal. You're barely audible even to me. Hopefully that got through. So, yeah, Tracy will, hopefully Tracy will give it another try. So let's run over to the stress line and see if it's working for somebody out in the Nevada area code. Hey, welcome to the program. And hung up. Sometimes you get the bear. Sometimes the bear gets you. But yeah, that didn't bode well. But all eight justices took the idea espoused by Neil Gorsuch and said, wrong! When you lose 8-0 at the Supreme Court with that bunch who can barely agree on where to go to lunch, you've lost. All right, let's try that. Welcome to the program.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, John. What's happening?
Oh, not much. I think I'm one of the ones you're horny or your stress line doesn't like too much.
But, happens.
Yeah, it happens. Ain't no thanks. Still a little bit butt-chapped about your conversation yesterday about that truck driver. Since I am one, it kind of hit home, kind of close to home.
Well, I can imagine it would.
Yeah, I mean, we had a couple of fascinating conversations today. This guy, he's a flagship example of this crap going on, of these billionaires and stuff wanting to take the country over. A thing popped up by newsfeed today. I mean, you mentioned about the dark money. Well, part of the dark money is also being used there. One of the reasons they're not going to go after Trump is they're really running hard to try to fill out those last couple of states that they need to have that Article II convention. And that guy.
Although one state, I can't remember which one. One state recently rescinded its Article 5 resolution.
Yeah. And that I think from what I'm picking up on my little sorry but newsfeed, it seems like they're seeing Trump as their one big chance to, and that's why he's getting away with so much stuff, because they just do not want to touch him until they're able to get the stuff they want. And your buddy Todd there, you know, I'm not trying to be mean to the guy or nothing, but damn, I mean, you know, you gotta fight. Sometimes you gotta actually go out there and take the ass whipping just to stand for the principle. You know.
Sometimes you gotta fight because it's all that's left. Sometimes you just sometimes you just can't sit back and sing Kumbaya until John Belushi comes along and takes your guitar and smashes it in the wall. Sometimes you gotta make him do that.
Exactly. And I mean, the thing about it is that if you, in his case of Gorsuch, you know, if you can discredit the guy enough, then even if he makes it onto the court, he's not going to have the same level of credibility and leverage that he would. I mean, how do I say this? I mean, the thing that bothers me, he's pulling the same crap that that Roberts did. Yeah, and I still remember because I was in D.C. at the time Roberts was doing his confirmation hearings, and I was actually, you know, there. And that son of a bitch lied so damn much that I'm surprised the damn paper didn't catch on fire in that place. All this stare decisis stuff and how precedent sets things and blah, blah, blah. But then as soon as he got to the freaking courts, precedent went out the damn window, and he pretty much just was winging it from the minute he got going. And this guy Gorsuch is the same damn way. He doesn't want to admit that he wants to go after Roe v. Wade. He doesn't want to admit that he wants to continue pushing the idea of money in politics. You know, anytime somebody tries to beard him, he's just going to duck.
And they, you know, they talked about this case and that case, and as long as the Republican was asking the question, he was a bubbling font of information, and like I said, clammed up the minute a Democrat asked him anything. But it was one of those things where you start listening for, because I follow the right wing closely enough, and the paranoid the paranoid ravings of the Heritage Foundation and the Cato Institute and whatnot. to know that they've got a list. They've got a wet dream list. There's just as far as the Supreme Court goes, there's a few cases out there that just makes them go oh. And of all the cases they asked Gorsuch was so forthcoming about yesterday, nobody ever mentioned Lochner.
Mm-hmm.
And that means something, because there is a cadre of the right wing that thinks that overruling Lochner was a horrible decision that turned us into a communist workers' paradise.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what Lochner was?
It's in my head, but I'm kind of using about half my brain right now. So can you refresh my memory?
Well, its formal name is Lochner versus New York. And it's a 1905 case. And what had happened is that bakers in New York were working dangerous, crazy long hours.
Okay, yeah. I remember.
And the New York legislature in 1895 passed the Bake Shop Act. And among other things, the Bake Shop Act said that there were health regulations that applied to bakeries. And additionally, and this was what created the controversy, a bakery worker was not allowed to work more than 10 hours a day. So the aggrieved capitalist bakers sued. And one of them was Joseph Lochner. And they took it to the Supreme Court. It was heard in, it was published in 1905, and they struck down the Bake Shop Act on the tissue paper thin argument that the workers' rights to freedom of contract were violated because the worker couldn't negotiate to work himself to death. And eventually, Lochner, you still there, John? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, Lochner gets overturned. During the Great Depression and the New Deal.
Yeah.
From that moment forward, the Republicans and the right wing have been grievously distraught.
Yeah.
Because where's the joy of capitalism if you can't work a man to death? Which, if you think about it, is the same thing that's at work in the frozen trucker case, Trans Am. The question being, can we work a man to death?
Well, here's where I come at it, and I'm following the same train of thought you are, but I'm taking it one step slightly tangential. You remember the case of Dodge versus Ford Motor Company?
Off the top of my head, no.
Okay, now I'll turn around and do the same favor that you did me. Henry Ford had a smart idea. He said, why don't I pay my damn workers enough money that they can actually buy the damn cars? Now, he didn't do it so much for altruistic reasons. He did it because he hated fucking unions.
And he wanted to sell his cars.
And he wanted to sell his cars, but he also predominantly wanted to keep the union out, so he paid more money to his workers than any of the other car dealerships, car and manufacturers there were. Now, the Dodge brothers had a minority stake in Ford Motor Company. Well, they sued his ass, and it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court issued a ruling that said that Henry Ford had a fiduciary responsibility to his shareholders that superseded any benefits that he would give to his workers. If it could be demonstrated that he was not functioning in the interest of his shareholders, that AO, like you say, with the Baker's case, like the frozen trucker case, blah, blah, blah. If the shareholders aren't the ones being kept on the freaking pedestal and take care of their business, sue the worker. And it's like, I did a little bit of, I didn't have a chance today to do any real research on it, but being the trucking business, I can tell you exactly pretty much what Trans Am, the mindset they had. They called it, and it's supposed to be a big deal in this industry. It's like, it's almost like, and I know when I did my training, it was like the one thing you could do that would technically blackball you throughout the industry. And that was, quote unquote, abandoning equipment or abandoning a load. That's like the big verboten, oh my God, Jesus Christ, you know.
Yeah, that's heresy.
Quote, yeah, that's kill babies and make, you know, Dinty Moore piece of soup out of them. And that's probably the underlying principle of why they fired him, because, oh my God, he left a, you know, X number of dollar load unprotected, unsecured, and he took...
Well, you know, they're so worried about that, they need to have a second guy on the truck to ride shotgun. I mean, what is this, the Old West?
Well, that would be a team operation. I mean, if you've ever been inside one of these trucks, you know... there's a lot of people that might like doing it, but me, it's already a closet in here for me and my fat butt. I don't have no desire to have someone else be stumbling over somebody else, you know, on a constant basis, especially somebody I don't really know that well. But, you know, these trucking companies and businesses in general, you know, they cannot stand it if the working man gets a little something. Pay him a living wage? Oh, hell no. It's like out McDonald's, out in California now. They had a Facebook thing blitz about it here about a month ago. Of course, they passed that $15 an hour in some place. What did McDonald's do? Well, they got rid of the cashiers, and they put a bunch of kiosks in there. And, you know, people were talking about it, and I'm saying that's the point. These business bastards do not care. And a guy like Gorsuch, that's all he is. When you get educated at that level, you go to Oxford, you spend your time around the silver spoon crowd, and that stuff gets into your system. You know, you start seeing the world through their eyes. Oh, well, you know, those poors, you know, they just, damn, they want money. And how can we get profit, keep our profit coming in if we have to keep giving them money? You know, what?
Right, and if you go back to Lochner, that was something that underpinned that. Arguably, a 10-hour day was rough on the people working in the bakery because they were paid so little that they couldn't make a living. They couldn't make a living wage at 10 hours, and that was by design of the bakers.
Well, yeah.
But in particular, John, the fact that Lochner didn't get mentioned is like the empty space between notes in a song. That's music too. And the fact of the matter is, there is a weird ass libertarian cadre within the think tank hell that is the right-wing intellectual swamp that thinks that Lochner was correctly decided. And they want to go back to Lochner.
The two things that I deal with, like the anarcho-capitalist stuff, there's only two things that these SOBs hold sacred. Only two. The sanctity of the contract. As far as they're concerned, everything the government should be doing.
Hey, John, I don't. Maybe you're between towers, or maybe it's me or something, but the same thing's happening to you happened to Tracy. You're breaking up something fierce. So I really do. I appreciate you chiming in this evening. And you've got good reason, John, to be worried by the way that Neil Gorsuch reaches his decisions. I mean, in many ways, that Trans Am case is a modern-day Lochner. And Neil Gorsuch seems to be a guy who wants to go back there. And that should be more than a little bit disturbing. Yeah. It's about 4 minutes before the hour. We are almost fully 2 hours into the program. I can report we started the program with $335 to go in fundraising, and we still have $335 to go in fundraising. Some nights, it's like this. Note coming in from Steve, a member of the Fraternity of Steve in China. Subject line, terrorism's whores. We are human only because we are able to use words to say we are human. That's sort of a take on Descartes' cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore, I am. And all the evidence there will ever be for the sort of war we are forever engaged in at this point in time, it was hauled off as soon as possible, bound for parts unknown, mixed with new concrete, or perhaps adorning gleaming new skyscrapers all over the world. Just as the Twin Towers melted into the earth, just then, all was lost. The war that is about the processing of information more than the engagement with an enemy, most about making civilian casualties of those who do and do not wear a particular uniform or wave an identifiable flag, that war is here forever. We are now fighting ourselves. We are, obviously, fighting those we have murdered anonymously and, need I say it, dishonorably. It is ours, and we are not equal to the aftermath. Neither is the U.S. Congress. The U.S. President, he just wants to go back to something simple and predictable, and unpredictable even so, nuclear annihilation. Nothing like the good old days, huh? I tire of war talk, Steve says. The war is everywhere and nowhere. It is armed and stalking the streets, invading schools, murdering babies, and tossing the sick and aged onto trash heaps. And that's just at home, where the populace is loud and noisy, fat and groomed, and well-fueled for the imaginary fight. For a select few, it is the fulfillment of a dream. War without enemies, or victors, or borders, or rules, or resolution. War without war. But good God, does it ever sell? Damn right. I mean, look at the Trump budget. You got a big boost in Pentagon spending that is ostensibly paid for by old people who want to eat food and be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. And poor people who want to be able to eat food and go to the doctor when they're sick. By the arts. By the humanities. By agencies of the government dedicated to trying to keep, you know, pandemics from sweeping across the entire nation. Steve's point is very well taken. If we did not have the bloated, pus-filled, cancerous military budget that we have, we wouldn't be sitting around having a discussion. I mean, you know, barring the existence of Republicans, of course, who will always say that the poors want too much, even if the poors just want to, you know, eat a can of tuna fish once a day. Why do we say tuna fish? Is there tuna beef, tuna chicken? Never mind. You know, the Republicans will always say, yeah, well, we can't, because communism. when in fact they just want the goddamn money for themselves. But absent the military budget, it would be hard to argue against something like universal single-payer health care. It would be hard to argue against a wholesale rebuilding of our, cliche, crumbling infrastructure. And it's only a cliche because it's true. So, we need to sort of keep that in the back of our minds. And Steve's right, in China, this is a far better kind of war because it's amorphous. Because it is, in Pentagon speak, asymmetrical. Meaning we don't even have to prove that there's another army lined up in the field against us. We can just say that there's some threat somewhere. And so, therefore, we have to be prepared to meet it. Now, here we are with a military budget that exceeds, by orders of magnitude, the next six or seven countries combined. And yet we're having trouble. We can't wipe out a bunch of religious maniacs who don't have anything more sophisticated than Toyota trucks with machine guns in the back. This should be troubling. And by the way, along the way, good God, if it should happen that ISIS's last stronghold in Iraq falls, you will need a 55-gallon drum of Mylanta to deal with all the crowing from Comrade Kumquat. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, 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 you will. It's about 3 minutes past the hour, and I want to thank very profoundly Joe and Paula. Thank you very, very much indeed for jumping in on the fundraising for the evening. We are now down to $285 to go. And thanks very kindly to Robert in Australia. Hey, Bob, it's US 36 bucks, which is costing the Australian 49, which is why it's not more. That'll take you under 300, so come on, people. The horn, Bob needs some cash. Well, the horn needs some cash. Bills to pay. Thank you, Robert. Thank you very much. So that actually takes us $249 to go. So we're under the, that was very helpful. Thank you, Robert. Cause that took us under the $250 mark. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Indeed. Joe, Paula and Robert in Australia. 4 minutes past the hour, and let's go and check in with, Scott and his political officer, Punky. Hey, Scott.
That's Comrade Punky to you.
Yeah, but Tovarish Punksky.
Yes. I put a little splash of vodka into this water dish
Who is cuddly cockatiel?
Yes. Well, he's not very cuddly. He'll sit on your shoulder, he'll sit on your finger, he'll hump your hand, but they don't like being petted. At least mine doesn't. I know some of them do. But he's just very picky about being petted. The cat, on the other hand, can't get enough of it. She loves getting those petting sessions.
Yeah, our little black cat, whose name is Nix, whom I occasionally refer to as Rorschach, or inkblot, or simply the darker than dark spot in the middle of the night that I invariably step on.
Yeah.
She's still a kitten, not a year old yet, and she's still working the feral out of her system. She's not a lap kitty, and she is not one for being petted a whole lot. She maybe ought to be called Ellie Mae because she would rather wrestle, and I am apparently Jethro.
and if to her human beings are critters, she's not so fond of them critters.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm a little late to the party. I was sitting here trying to watch the confirmation hearings of Judge Gorsuch, and I dozed off, okay? And the next thing I knew, you're 2 hours into the show, and the last thing I heard was talk about the bloated, wasteful spending and fraud bloated military budget. So I don't know what the preamble to all that was. But it reminded me, what little I did here, it reminded me of something that I think George Carlin talked about, God, over 20 years ago. Well, two things that he talked about. One of them was that the sole purpose of war, or at least a main purpose of war or military engagement that this country thrusts itself into on a regular basis. And it works out to, since the founding of the country, there's been a military skirmish of one sort or another on average every 20 years, which when you look at it over the span of history, that seems to work out pretty accurately. You've got the Revolutionary War, then you've got the War of 1812, and then somewhere you've got the French and Indian War.
Oh, that's before the Revolution.
Okay, well, I'm a little fuzzy on the order of worship here. But then you've got the Civil War, okay?
You left out the Mexican War, dude.
Yeah, the Mexican War. And then you get the Civil War. And then not too long after that, I'm sure there was something going on in the Philippines that we just had to be part of.
Well, that was the larger part of that. That was an extension of the Spanish-American War.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the Filipinos got all froggy, thinking that they were going to be free people and stuff. So we had to put that to rest real quick. And it was in fact those actions that prompted Mark Twain to write the War Prayer.
I remember that.
Because long before there was ever a Vietnam, we were committing disgusting atrocities in the Philippines.
Yeah, as I recall, he was none too pleased about it, and he called it just as he saw it, if I'm thinking of the same writing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, there's your American exceptionalism, you know? We excel. We are exceptional when it comes to, you know, just beating the fluorescent.
We are exceptionally good at stomping on helpless people.
Yeah. And then you
so shortly after the Philippines, Scott, you get that seminal moment that caused Smedley Butler, the most decorated, he's the only two-time winner of the Congressional Medal of Honor in the Marine Corps. He gets sent to Nicaragua as an enforcer for United Fruit, and then they send him to Haiti, and he misses out on the First World War, and he comes up, and it's Nicaragua and Haiti that provide him with the essential material by which to come to the conclusion that war is a racket and that he was, in fact, a hired thug.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets you up in that gets you up to 1920.
Yeah, so we've just had at that point World War I, okay, the war to end all wars, the war to make the world safe for democracy, and then 20 years later, you've got World War II, okay, which was no minor skirmish. And then, you know, Korea. That was a little shorter than 20 years in terms of time. And then rapidly on the heels of that, you have Vietnam. And so on, so on it goes. And I remember a book that I read some years ago by, did you ever see the movie JFK, Oliver Stone's movie?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay, there's a pivotal
based on,
scene.
On our buddy Jim in Louisiana Stan's daddy's book.
Yeah, okay. And also Bill, not Bill Maher, Jim Maher's book, Crossfire, okay? So, but there was a pivotal scene in the film when, what's his name, Jim Garrison, played by Kevin Costner, goes to Washington and meets with someone who is listed as Man X.
Mr. X, Donald the Donald Sutherland yeah. character.
Yeah, okay. And on a real-life person, and that real-life person was Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who basically was sent out of the country around the time, just before the assassination of President Kennedy, and he finds himself in Christchurch, New Zealand. Now, you've got to know that Colonel Prouty was basically a liaison between the Pentagon and CIA, one of whose functions was to not orchestrate, but help to efficiently, I'm trying to think of the word I want, to help achieve, well, I mean, once the black ops plans were made to go into some country and kill off some leader or destabilize some country, part of what Fletcher Prouty did was to make it possible to expedite that process for the black ops people who went in to do that. Okay, so he was pretty well schooled in how black ops and propaganda and disinformation worked. Well, forwarded up to the weekend or the afternoon, actually, of JFK's assassination, Colonel Prouty is in Christchurch, New Zealand, and you got to keep in mind the time difference between the U.S. and New Zealand. And he picks up the paper, which is basically the timeline would have been afternoon here, okay, but the next day, like Saturday, in Christchurch, New Zealand, and there's like a studio photo in coat and tie of Oswald, and as complete a biography and background of the guy that you would ever want, and a bell rang in Fletcher Prouty's head, and he said, this was a black ops operation. I mean, the American people had not been given some of this information that he was reading in the Christchurch, New Zealand newspaper. And it was as if the package had been prepared sometime earlier and was sent out to as a news dispatch for the far-flung corners of the world. And this was like Saturday morning, New Zealand time, when here in this country, the article had covered stuff that had not really fully come out stateside, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
One of the getting back to what George Carlin had been talking about with the wars about every 20 years, the principal function of war for a long time was to do real time and real world testing of the latest military products and weapons and systems. And, you know, think about that.
We'll examine that. But I would point out that prior to the Second World War and the subsequent imposition of the permanent war footing, perpetual consumer economy,
mm-hmm.
Wars were we're not quite the economic engines that they are now, because of the, you know, there was some military complex, but nothing on the scale of what we had in the after the Second World War.
No.
Yeah, you're right. As far as testing weaponry at the time of the Revolution, and in fact at the time of the Napoleonic Wars, if you got killed by a musket shot at greater than 100 yards, you were one unlucky SOB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we find out with the rise of the with the onset of the Civil War, by which time the rifled barrel musket has come into usage, that if you use Napoleonic tactics of, you know, two armies lining up 100 yards apart from each other, and you've got weapons with rifled barrels, the carnage is going to be almost incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
And that lesson was learned in places like Shiloh and Antietam.
And if memory serves, the Civil War was the time that the Gatling gun came about.
It's not fully ready for deployment then. But what does come along, especially by the time we get to Gettysburg, is the Sharps rifle, which was deployed by the Union and was a repeating rifle. It was referred to by the South as that damn Yankee rifle you can load on Sunday and shoot all week.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking about. But mentioning Prouty again, and I hadn't learned this until I read his book JFK in Vietnam, which came out around the time that the movie JFK did, mid-90s was when I think it came out. He mentioned something that I'd never heard before, and that was in the waning days of World War II, there was a huge influx of materiel into the Pacific in readiness for a land invasion of Japan. Well, meanwhile, Nagasaki and Hiroshima took place, thus ending the need for all that stuff. So what happened to it all? Prouty maintains that half of it went to Korea, and half of it went to what was then French Indochina. We know it better as Vietnam, toward that day when we would need it. Had you ever heard that before?
I'm passing familiar with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I never heard it. And I said, Jesus, you know, here we are in 1945, all of that buildup, none of which was needed because of the advent of the atomic bomb. They couldn't very well dump it into the Pacific. So they sent half of it basically to Korea and half of it to French Indochina. I guess someone knew that at some point those two areas would be heated up. And lo and behold, they were. Plus, shit, in the case of Vietnam, that was, if you owned military or anything industrial in terms of investments,
Scott, it wasn't hard to predict.
Well, no, because by that time, we were all about being the grand colossus striding across the
but
face
we,
of the
but
earth.
we also knew that Asia was going to change fundamentally in the aftermath of the fall of the Japanese Empire.
Yes, well, true.
And of course, we did what we always do: we backed the wrong damn horse where China was concerned. We backed Chiang Kai-shek until Chiang Kai-shek was able to pack up all of his money, and Madam Chiang was able to pack up all of her money, and they were able to bug out for Taiwan. And then Mao comes along, and we just don't speak till 1972.
Yeah, and that
in turn speaks to what's going to happen to Korea. And let's remember during World War II itself, there was a Vietnamese in Indochina resistance to the Japanese. And certain promises were made about their freedom. I mean, right. I don't know if you know this or not, but Ho Chi Minh was classically educated and wrote a Vietnamese Declaration of Independence that almost tracked word for word the U.S. Declaration.
Yeah, he was essentially an ally of ours.
And Harry Truman said, "We will stand with you." Just like in Iran, Harry Truman told Winnie Churchill, much as he loved him, to fuck right the fuckity fuck off with his notion that Britain needed to have a ruling say in the running of that country. And then what happens to the United States periodically happened to the United States. Harry Truman decided he was sick to damn death of being president, decided not to run in, what was it, 52?
52, yeah.
And Ike gets drafted and decides to be a Republican. The Cold War is heating up, and the next thing you know, Charles de Gaulle comes along and says, "Ah, my dear friend, Ike, you must help us do something with these little hellions in Indochine." And along comes Winnie and says, "Never in the history of human endeavor have we needed to fuck over those wogs in Iran like we do now." And Ike looked at both of them and said, "Sure enough." And so the groundwork was laid. For the disaster that was Vietnam in, 1953, 1954, 1955. And the French, the French burned themselves out to the point of getting themselves disastered at Dien Bien Phu. And then for some reason or another, understand that MacArthur and Eisenhower hated each other's guts. That's why they had to be separated by an entire globe during the Second World War. Eisenhower got the European command, and MacArthur got the Army command in the South Pacific. And along the way, say whatever else you want to about MacArthur, he did come up with the idea, which he is apocryphally said to have passed on to JFK, don't get involved in a ground war in Asia. And so one cannot help but wonder if maybe Eisenhower, MacArthur said don't get involved in a ground war in Asia. what a pompous ass he, because that's what he always thought he was. The next thing you know, Ike is, we love you. We love you, de Gaulle. We love you. Yeah, we're going to help out there.
Yes. His way.
Skype is sucking something fierce this evening. Every one of these calls has eventually collapsed. Are you still there, Scott?
Hello?
I'm here if you're there.
But you...
Scott, I'm sorry, brother. I really, really am. I don't know what the hell's wrong with Skype. These problems were with us and Dr. Bill earlier today, too. And it makes no sense. So hopefully you and I will talk more cogently and with less interference from the fine folks at Skype sometime in the future. Let's see. I think Scott's ringing in on the stress line. Are you there, Scott? Hold on, wait a minute. We got to get you Bluetoothed. Just a minute, Scott. Stand by. Stand by. Are you there? Man, when Skype and the stress line go boogity at the same time, no telling what the hell's going on. Let's see here. Yeah, see, it says I'm connected to the Bluetooth. But then it doesn't connect to the Bluetooth when somebody calls in. Son of a gun. Like I need that. I've got to get some thanks out. Robert in Australia got us down to 249 to go, and then Marcia got us down to 199 to go, and Judy got us down to 174 to go. And then Sylvia got us down to 154 to go. So that is a tremendous relief. $154 to go in fundraising, and that means we've caught up with we've filled in last night's hole, and we actually took a bite out of tonight. So 154 to go. Thank you, everybody. And again, my apologies about the connectivity on Skype. It just all three calls that have come in over the Skype, and not just Skype, but the phone line that's attached to Skype, suck. What else? Because there's a bunch. Well, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, so let me share something with you. Because when it comes to fundamentalism, West Virginia and Appalachia put the fun in fundamentalism. Isaac up in Ohio sent this along. And then I tracked down the Washington Post story, because I'm a little leery of websites that, don't link to things that... try not to be bitten by fake news. But thanks, Isaac. Headline... This, and by the way, March 22nd, like right now, this morning, this West Virginia school district has weekly Bible classes. A kindergartner is suing. And a little child shall lead them. Mercer County is not too awfully far from here. And in Mercer County, they have a Bible in the Schools program. And Jane Doe and her kindergartner, Jamie Doe, have sued, saying that the Bible in the Schools program is, in fact, unconstitutional, primarily because it is. Lawsuit's been filed in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of West Virginia. Suit papers claiming the program advances and endorses one religion, improperly entangles the public schools in religious affairs. I don't know if there's a way to properly entangle the schools in religious affairs, but that's the editor in me, and violates the personal consciences of non-religious and non-Christian parents and students. Way it shakes out, in elementary schools, for 30 minutes, once a week, in every elementary school, doesn't matter, first grade, fourth grade, whatever, 30 minutes of scripted interpretations of Bible stories that push the idea of creationism and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Really? Creationism? What makes me think these scripted interpretations probably got hand-delivered by Australian ne'er-do-well Ken Ham? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Angry Architect, and I'm sorry, Robert, and all of our other Australian friends, but I'm going to keep referring to him as Australian ne'er-do-well until y'all demand that he come home. I know you don't want him, but, you know, just move him into the basement there at Hillsong or something, would you? In the lawsuit papers, get the hockey puck. In the lawsuit papers, there's one lesson in, it describes one lesson in which students are asked to, and this is a quote, imagine that human beings and dinosaurs existed at the same time. So picture Adam being able to crawl up on the back of a dinosaur. He and Eve could have their own personal water slide. Wouldn't that be so wild? You have no idea how I wish I was pulling your leg, but I'm not. You know, for years, I've been referring to this particular clip, and whenever we talk about homeschooling or Ken Ham or any of that bilious bullshit, inevitably, well, you know what I'm talking about.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
It does my heart no good whatsoever to note that that little kid was doing a really, really good the hillbilly West Virginia sort of accent. So you'll notice that there's no lesson asking students to imagine giving the Hindu god Ganesh a peanut. I know I'm forever talking about Ganesh. I just like Ganesh. He's a happy little elephant god. And I also remember that wonderful scene from The Simpsons where Apu Nahasapina Petawan, that's Apu's name in The Simpsons, says, please do not offer my god a peanut. Says it to Homer. He and Eve could have their own personal water slide. Wouldn't that be so wild? And by the way, once you get to middle school, it's 45 minutes a week. Mercer County Public Schools have moved to dismiss the lawsuit because heresy and Jane Doe and her little heretic daughter Jamie should be burnt at the stake. No, that's not in the suit, but you'll never convince me that the goddamned evangelical fundamentalist, haven't thought about it. You know, back in the day, we could have just burned them and have done with it. Mercer County Public Schools pettifogger pled, the purported harms plaintiffs allege are merely speculative, resulting from choices the Does say they may have to make well into the future, and related fear of potential ostracism that is grounded only in speculation, not fact. Well, no, it's March. Little Jamie Doe will not be a kindergartner anymore after May, and it's not well into the future to talk about when she becomes a first grader in Mercer County in August. Hell, the case will still be going on then. And by way of taking the starch out of the claim that little Jamie would be ostracized or wouldn't be ostracized, and that's just speculation. Well, Elizabeth Deal also lives in Mercer County, and she said her kid was bullied for not going to Bible class. The bullying, in fact, got so bad that Elizabeth Deal removed her daughter from the county school system. Ms. Deal said, I think this is definitely an outright gray area, if not an outright illegal. Oh, and by the way, the school says they get to do it because there ain't no school funds going for it. It's paid for by a nonprofit organization. The point of the course is to teach history and literature. a cultural enrichment objective, said Hiram S. Sasser, a lawyer representing Mercer County Public Schools who works for the First Liberty Institute, a Texas-based nonprofit focused on religious freedom. In other words, focused on Christian indoctrination. To make sure that students obviously have the social currency to interpret Western literature. You know what? I don't think you need to study the Hebrew account of creation in order to understand Nicholas Nickleby or Candide or, God knows, the poetry of Sappho or Huck Finn. Jesus. Meanwhile, of course, Betsy DeVos, education secretary, and that's enough to gag a goose. Well, she says that's all just fine by her, because we need more Jesus in the schools. Because that's where we went wrong in the first place. Not creating good little Christian children. And once again admitting, tacitly, that the Sunday schools are not doing enough of a good job at indoctrinating the kids who go there. Well, no, I mean, okay, so maybe it's good enough for the kids who go there, but what about the precious little heathen children? They're probably bringing 20 more fetus stew to school in their little thermoses full of fetuses. Somehow we got to teach them about the saving grace of Christ Jesus that'll let them go to heaven even if they grow up to be in a motel room having sex with a 16-year-old boy. As long as they ask Jesus to forgive them for doing it, and Jesus says, sure thing. We got problems coming out our ass in West Virginia. And you got some jerkwater dickheads in the Mercer County public school system who have nothing better to do than try to religiously indoctrinate children. Fuck them, you know? Just fuck them. With a red-hot, righteous, holy poker. Sorry, that wasn't very nice, was it? Then again, as I was discussing with Alma last night, I don't think it's very nice to warp a little child's mind with twisted Bronze Age mythology either. But that's me. So let's check in and see if Skype is working worth a damn at all. Are you there, Tracy?
What the hell is going on with the phones tonight?
I wish to hell I knew. But every time I've lost a call, I've damn sure clicked that how is your call quality, and I click poor, awful, shitty.
So, wait. So we were trying to talk about the Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, the hearings. So now we went from the hearings, and then you went on. I kind of heard you talking to John, and then you lost John, and then you went to Scott. You lost Scott, and then you started talking. I heard you talking about Jesus and dinosaurs. So,
yeah.
And let me just briefly tell you about how, when I think I started realizing, not that the Bible was full of shit or anything like that. Well, maybe.
Because it is. There's a lot of shit in the Bible. There's a lot of shit in the Bible.
When I realized the Bible was a history book, because I was looking, grew up, Baptist church and whatnot and so forth, and pretty much thought that the Bible was the end all be all because it had to be. So I'm looking in the Bible for the dinosaurs because if God created the heavens and the earth, where the hell were the dinosaurs?
Well, they were killed. They was killed out in the flood. There is vague references to them before the flood.
Wait, hold on.
Sorry about that. Yeah, but how would they come up in the flood if they weren't there in the first place? I looked all over the Bible. I didn't see any dams out.
All you got to do is go down to the Creation Museum and the Ark Park down in Kentucky that the taxpayers are paying for and is breaking the county that it's in. There's dioramas there of early man wrestling dinosaurs.
But the taxpayers are paying for it.
Yes.
A second.
Yes. Yes. And it has been sanctioned in Kentucky that you cannot work for the Ark Park unless you are a good God-fearing, upstanding Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, amosexual, straight Christian.
But if you're a Christian, aren't you already Bible believing?
Well, we got to be sure. But they don't have to, they've been told they ain't got to hire no Muslims, and they sure don't have to hire no Jews, even though the whole story that they're talking about there with the damn ark belongs to, you know, the Jews.
Aren't they Jews? I don't think Noah was Christian.
Well, he was. He got great 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 grandfathered in because he's a patriarch.
See, you know what? When you were talking about, because see, I remember back when I was a kid, we had that. Okay, so there was this thing. It was kind of like not vacation Bible school, but we did. It was a Bible training thing, and it was at school, but it wasn't at school. My mom signed me up for it, but it was in a private home, and so I love vacation Bible school. I love Sunday school. I love, you know, Bible drills. I could find the Bible verse in a drop of, you know, I can't do that shit now, but I could find, you name me a Bible verse and I could find it at the drop of a hat. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I used to do. But the older I got, the less I'm not saying.
Yeah. Third flip floppians 269. And you were right there.
Exactly. But and I'm thinking now, if I was a parent of a child, and if I lived in one of these counties that try to do that shit, I would sue too. And I would say lack of Christian or what have you, but I would be pissed if I didn't even make my son go to church when he was younger.
Exactly. I mean, just as one example, Tracy. The Roman Catholic Church, and this is before St. Frank even, has made no bones about the fact that creationism, seven-day creationism, and this is an official statement of Holy Mother Church, creationism is a heresy. So even if you're a good, if you're a good Roman Catholic, asking children to imagine Adam and Eve riding to Sunday school on a goddamn dinosaur is asking your children to participate in a heresy.
But
the Roman Catholic Church takes their heresies pretty damn serious.
They will burn your ass to the ground
for heresy.
This is before Father Frank.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that there's a Vatican observatory. They look into space too. Granted, they'd like to have a big enough telescope to find God, but you know, what does God need with a starship? There's our Star Trek reference. Just had to work that in.
I had to do it.
And I don't know if you heard last night, but yes, everybody, or not everybody, but several people identified the Star Trek episode you were talking about. That's the one where Lincoln refers to Uhura as a charming negress.
Thank you. I knew it. I think I need to change. Twitter handle is the Grand Negress.
If you want to throw an Exalted in there, I mean, you know, that never hurts.
Oh, Exalted Grand Negress?
Yes.
Yeah. I think.
If you want to get Latin about it, you can be the Exalted Grand Negressima.
I think that should be my
because I don't really have Instagram. Maybe that should be my Instagram handle.
Ooh, that could be that could come in very handy on the cruise.
Oh, the you oh how do you okay? You have to text or email me Negresimus because I don't know how to spell that. But that is so fucking hot. Wow. Especially now that I'm losing weight, and I think that would be perfect. The Exalted Grand Negresimus. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have texted it to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That right there, I think with this.
Because when we put the isima on the end of it, it means you're the Negress, you're the Negressest Negress of all Negresses.
Yes. Oh my God. Oh my fucking God.
It means that's there ain't so nobody more Negress than you.
That's it. You can't. You just can't be no more. You know, ain't nobody no more no Negress than me. That's just awesome. That's it. That's it.
If you want to, at the front end, you can put 32nd degree. And that'll drive the people crazy who get all worked up about the Masons.
Oh yes, so my mom and I we're on a tentative speaking to each other again, and because you know she's all I told you, you know, she went to Liberty University and she's a evangelical. She moved down south and lost her fucking mind, and it's like I try hard to stay away from religion with her. But I'm like, you're a member of a denomination of a church that does not like black people, who definitely does not like gay people, do not like gay people. They, you know, they would not piss on your daughter if she was on fire. But you are constantly tithing to these people. You are an enabler. We had that conversation. And I can't. I try not to say anything and get into it. But when I listen to stories about what that fool, the one that was, met a 16-year-old and in a Super 8 motel and was going to have sex with them, and he's still getting his...
No, he's a young'un, and he's just 35. He was only 19 years older than the boy he was going to shtup.
Oh, yeah. What kind of world do we live in, Bob?
Well, we live in a world. We live in a world where he, yeah. Granted, he's been charged with a felony, but he'll get away with it in large part because all he has to do is sit there in front of the jury and say, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you've heard all the evidence, but I want you to hear one more thing. I'm not sitting here telling you I'm perfect.
Right.
I'm just forgiven because I'm saved by the grace of Christ Jesus
of God. But
and the whole jury will sit there and go, "Whoo, glory." Pass me a snake.
Praise Jesus, Lord.
We're going to have to work on that.
But had he been black,
yeah.
Because see, black people don't get forgiven.
Let's be fair. In the black church, they can be forgiven by their congregation.
By their congregation, but not by a jury of their peers.
Well, that's because they ain't got none of them once you get into the courtroom.
Right, exactly, because the jury that appears is usually good, fine, Bible-upstanding Christian white folk.
Well, you know how it is. They get in them churches of theirs, and they jump all over the place, and they shout, and they holler, and they carry on. I don't know how anybody even thinks that's Christianity.
Meanwhile, back at the fort, they're charming steaks and shit and cutting chickens, heads off chickens and shit. But, you know.
Yeah, you get the idea.
I don't, like I said, the older I get, the less I understand Christianity. It really just pisses me off. And I have a hard time when people try to say, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. And no, Jesus doesn't, Jesus hate gay people. No, because the Jesus that I know, that I read about in the Bible, he hung out with the prostitutes. And
yeah, the
tax
only people
collectors.
He got pissed off were the 1% up there playing with the money.
Right. He went into the temple.
I mean, he didn't even say for people to rise up against the Romans. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and under God that which is God's.
Exactly. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Because they could have gotten rid of him real quick if he would have said, hell yeah, fuck the Romans. Real quick. Just saying. So, there's other religious craziness out there. Hey, we're running out of time, but can I run one little thing just so I can, because it's you. And this is a topic that I seem to only. Oh no, I lost her. Damn it. Well, this is a topic that I only run into or talk about, it seems like, with Tracy. It's just how it worked out. I mentioned a couple of nights ago that Arian Barbie, Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2017, Tommy Lauren. Whom Glenn Beck said he would never, ever take off the air. You know, until he did, because she said she wanted the government to stay out of her hoo-hoo. Well, all kinds of wing nuts all over the place come absolutely plumb unglued over her saying, if I tell you to keep my hands off my guns, that means you can also keep your hands out from under my skirt. Or some such. Well, enter Theodore Chobot, who refers to himself as a Christian militant. He is the son of a Christian terrorist by the name of Waleed Chobot, I think. Lebanese, maybe. And he has, in case you were wondering, and you're not because you're part of this community, no particular religion has a lock on bloodthirstiness. And God knows, not the Christians. And remember, this guy's a Christian. He believes everything you have to believe to be a Christian. And as long as, you know, right before he shuffles off this mortal coil, he says, forgive me. Jesus goes, yeah, sure. Then right through the pearly gates, he swans. And so last Friday, Theodore Chobot, because he is a follower of the Prince of Peace, who was in fact the son of the God of Love. Well, he had this to say about Tommy Lauren.
So here is Tommy Lauren. She works for Glenn Beck. She works for this racist named Glenn Beck, right? This member of a racist cult called Mormonism.
Yeah, they ain't
and
no good either.
Tommy Lauren here is saying, I believe in...
And understand, when it comes to Theodore Chobot, he may be, and him and his daddy, they may be the only Christians on planet Earth. It's kind of like that old joke about the... the couple that a couple of people die, go to heaven, and Saint Peter's showing them around. And he goes, over here's the Episcopalians, and the new folks in heaven wave, and the Episcopalians wave back. Over there's the Roman Catholics, and they wave, and the Roman Catholics wave back. And over here's the Greek Orthodox, and they wave, and the Greek Orthodox wave back. There's Presbyterians. Presbyterians wave back. There's Lutherans. Lutherans wave back. And then he says, there's the Church of Christ. And they get ready to, the newbies get ready to wave. And he pulls their hand down. And says, shh. They think they're the only ones up here. Well, that's like Theodore Chobot.
Abortion. Now, it's really interesting. Works for a Mormon. Mormonism is a white supremacist religion. and believes in abortion. Very interesting. And who's aborting their kids more than anyone else in America? Black women.
I know he's trying to come up with something that looks like a progression from A to B to C. Okay, so there's this Mormon racist guy who employs this blonde girl, and black women are aborting babies. Really, we're going to wrap up with hockey pucks this evening.
Black women murder their children more than anyone else in the United States. And if you claim to be pro-choice, if you say you're pro-choice, which means you're pro-infanticide, that means that you support Planned Parenthood.
Well, dickhead, no. If you support the right to abortion, it does not mean you support infanticide, because a fetus is not an infant.
And what they're...
But he's really mad at people who support what he deems infanticide, so therefore, being a Christian, of course, he's just going to forgive them.
They're doing in providing a place where women can slaughter their own children, and where doctors can indulge in their infanticidal fantasies, because infanticide is what abortion is. So this woman believes in genocide. Again, it goes back to what I've said. You pull the layers, and what do you see? You see a freaking Nazi. This woman, Tommy Lauren, is a freaking little Nazi.
Okay, you haven't lost me yet, Theodore. I'm down with you. I mean, after all, we call her Aryan Barbie now, don't we? I'm not going to hold out a lot of hope.
Yeah, and if you go to the Blaze, if you go to Rebel Media, you go to whatever, they're all a bunch of freaking sick-ass Nazi bastards.
Doesn't he just talk so Christian?
And this Tommy Lauren woman, let me tell you something. In an ideal society, saying this evil that she has said, it would be worthy of her being arrested, tried, and executed. Because it's a crime against humanity, what she is doing.
How about that? Speech is a crime against humanity, according to this Christian. This Christian who believes the same thing that every other Christian believes, that they have to believe to be a Christian and get into the pearly gates and have frisbees and wheat checks and pie every day in the afterlife. God is love, y'all! And so we will crank up the Calliope and play the recessional. And I will invite you back for tomorrow evening for Thorn in the Side Thursday. I think I've already been... Ow! Yep, there's one. We'll be ready. I hope you're here. Thanks to everyone who has helped us crawl out partway out of the hole this evening. Thank you very much indeed. We got $154 to go to get even. And then that would just put us at our regular $200 for tomorrow night. But who knows? We also have our subscribers, and they fill in a lot of holes. Thank you very kindly. And thank you to Sylvia. Thank you, Sylvia, for becoming a subscriber for this day, which is kind of thin anyway. Thank you. Thank you, Sylvia. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little long-form conversation. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our midweek prayer meeting utility chat room moderator, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.